welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and continue on a little series that we had started last week. Last week we looked at what we called the legal side of healing, okay? We kind of walked through the Word on just some different levels and just talked about how, you know, God didn't redeem us out of some sovereign power play. In other words, He didn't just go, Allah kazoo, Allah kazam, you are righteous as I am. He didn't do that. He so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. And when that Son was on the earth, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. And then just a few hours later in Gethsemane, He verifies it and said, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from Me. Prayed that three times. Heaven was silent all three times. There was no other way because God is not only all-powerful, He is just and holy and pure, and in Him there's no darkness at all. So being a just God, He reconciled us to Himself through justification. In other words, the blood had to be shed for our sin. God dealt with our sin issue on a legal basis. That was imposed, self-imposed by a holy God on Himself to deal with man's sin problem on a legal basis. And we saw that within that provision, not only was that in that legal right of, we call the legal side of healing, there was what we call the legal right of ownership. We looked at 1 Corinthians 6. He said, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. In other words, in that legal transaction, not only was your inward man purchased, but your outward man, your body, was purchased. Our body, which belongs to God. If on the registration papers of this body, it's only your name that's there, you're in trouble. Because you don't have the ability to transform this body into a glorious body. He does. And as right ownership of this body, not only did He do what He did on the inside, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, all has become new. He's a new creation. He did that. He bought us. He also has legal right to do that to this outward man, to transform this vile body. Paul says that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, almost kind of like what happened with the new creation. All right, there's this transformation. Why? Because we're bought with a price. In other words, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. So we get that sense of, you know, this body is a really important thing. And when we're talking about the legal side of healing, it's not just a matter of, you know, creature comfort and, you know, kind of survival instinct. There's more to it than that. God bought your body because your body gives you authority in the earth to do kingdom business and to do kingdom work. Your body is your ticket to be here. You can't be here without this ticket. And the show is pretty short. You know, days is 1,000 years. If you kind of translate it out, that works out to about 42 years an hour. All right? So it's about a 2 to 2.5 hour show. You know, that's an 84 to 105 range in general, all right? But this is your ticket to be here. And this gives you authority in the earth. And I'll tell you what, it's a big deal. Your body is a big deal. Your body being healthy to do what God has called you to do, the good works He's ordained you to walk in, is a big deal. I mean, you think about it from Satan's perspective. I heard a preacher put it this way once, and it just marked my thinking. He said, you know, as far as, you know, this is from Satan's perspective, as far as his own judgment is concerned, future doom, lake of fire, all that stuff, you know, he's not worried about that right now. You know, he's a procrastinator. He's going to put that off as far as he can put it off. He said, but one thing he can't put off is you. It's the man, it's the woman who's live and breathing, who knows their authority in Christ and how to use it. You got a body, gives you authority to be here in his kingdom, to get people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear son. It's a big deal. This body is a big deal. To just do the will of God in the earth, you got to have one of these. Not only that, but there's a legal right of parenthood. Jesus made the argument that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your heavenly Father give? In other words, he's saying, look, if you, being evil, have the good sense to know what's right, and he's saying you do, and he's basically, you know, affirming we do have the good instinctive sense to do what's right, give the heavenly Father as much credit too. He understands that too. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a scorpion. You know, he's going to give you bread. And so we got to realize that our heavenly Father has that same kind of parental care for us. You know, the thought that, well, God cares about your spirit and what's going on the inside, but he doesn't care about your body. He cares if you have a broken heart, but he doesn't care if you're writhing in pain physically. That doesn't sound like giving God the good basic sense that we would have with our own kids and care. Jesus makes that argument. And what did he say when we kind of took that parental thing to this to that other level too, as far as giving him bread? Jesus, talking to the Syrophoenician woman who wanted healing, she said, you know, she was inquiring of Jesus for healing, and he said, you know, it's not right to take what's holy and give it to the dogs. You know, healing is the children's bread. He was talking to a woman who wasn't under the covenant, you know, and the woman said, yeah, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She humbled herself. He said, he blessed her, said, yeah, go your way, your daughter's healed. But what was the distinction he was making? She didn't have that covenant with God, and healing is the children's bread, the children's bread. And we had to look at what happened in that legal transaction. Not only did we get our sins forgiven, but 1 John 3:1 says, behold the manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. That's right, appropriate, because of the manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us. In other words, we have sonship status as a result of being born again. Born again isn't just a religious phrase to define what people kind of believe down here. Born again is something Jesus said, describing what happens to a person when they receive Christ. You're born again into the family of God. You're a child of God. Praise God. So that's who you are. And again, Jesus was talking about a lady he was going to heal on the Sabbath. He was about to get in trouble for that. And he said, ought not this daughter of Abraham be free, whom Satan has bound these 18 years? Now, what was the basis that she should be? Being a daughter of Abraham. Well, praise God. That's a good basis for getting set free. It's a good basis for us to know that healing is the children's bread. Healing is our bread. God cares about our bodies. If we're in physical pain, he's not saying buck it up. No, I don't care about your physical pain. He was moved with compassion 2,000 years ago and healed. He had compassion for their pain. He loved people and healed them because he cared about their bodies. To really see God in that light, to give yourself permission to believe that he cares about my body. It's not just up to me to fend for myself with this body, but there he bought this body with that same price. He is a good parent. He is a good heavenly Father. There's a legal right of covenant promise. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Part of the promises that we've received from Christ through the new covenant include that body was broken for us. And we talked about by his stripes you were healed. All right? And we talked about studying that word Rapha in the old covenant. If you break it down real technically in terms of what that word Rapha means, by his stripes you were healed, there's different, there's basically three breakdowns of what that word means. About 70% of the time, it's referring in a physical, natural sense, a physical, natural healing or physician or something like that. About 10% of the time, it's referring to a backslidden condition where you're being restored from a place of being apart from God and being restored from that backslidden condition. About 20% of the time, it's allegorical as it relates to the nation or the prophet himself. It could be a dual sense where the prophet is talking about his own Rapha in connection with the healings, Rapha, healing of a nation. So it's about 70-20-10, if you want to get technical with the word Rapha, okay? But as you look at it, and as we reconcile that concept back to the new covenant, we weren't healed spiritually in the new covenant. If any man is in Christ, the old is passed away. Behold, all has become new. We became born again. That's different. That's a new birth. It's a whole new concept. And so we received new birth. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we were healed. There was a physical, no, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. We saw a series of things that he, of his sufferings that had redemptive nature for our healing and for our wholeness. So we kind of saw that he did this, we got this. He did this, we got this. And so that was all wrapped up in Isaiah chapter 53. So we saw this legal side, almost this legal transaction side of healing. So what we want to do now this morning is we want to go forward and we're going to go back to that scripture we kind of finished with last week. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. A lot of times we think about a receiving side of healing and receiving healing. We kind of think about this. You know, I'm sick. You know, I'm going to pray for healing, or maybe I'll call somebody to pray for healing. We have a prayer chain at Door of Life. If you're dealing with stuff, you can reach out. Jody Aish is actually our prayer point person right now who's further communicating out you know, different prayer requests and stuff that we have going on. So we have that. We believe in it. We believe in letting people know and people praying for you. But I'll tell you what, when you look at the Word of God, there's a lot of different ways we receive healing. And this morning, I wanted to take a little time with that because the problem with kind of getting, you know, almost, say, one-dimensional, you know, thinking in the way you receive healing, God might want to minister healing to you in a way, and you're just kind of used to that one way. You know, I'm going to pray, I'm going to have people pray for me, and that's good. Like I said, there's definitely a scriptural basis for people to be praying for you and agreeing for you for healing, but there are many different ways that God can and does supernaturally heal and minister healing. So this morning, I just want to kind of open our hearts and minds and eyes to the Word of God and just see different ways that we can receive healing and be open to it. Because the fact of the matter is, you could have two people healed from the same condition and they could receive it two completely different ways. Or you could have the same person throughout your life receive healing in different ways. I mean, a lot of us have. We've experienced different ways that we've received healing. So we're going to delve into it this morning, the receiving side of healing. We talked about the legal side. Now we want to talk about the receiving side of healing. One of the ways that we see throughout the scriptures that we people receive healing is through what we call the laying hands on the sick. Laying hands on the sick. And we see Jesus certainly ministered this way in Luke 4:40. It says, when the sun was setting and all those who had any that were sick with various diseases were brought to him, Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So we see clearly that one way people receive healing is through the laying on of hands. That's one way that Jesus did it. This isn't the only way Jesus ministered healing, but one way was through the laying on of hands. And not only did Jesus do that, but Jesus told us something as well, too, along those lines as well. He said in Mark chapter 16, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. All these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay? In other words, Jesus said, they saw him laying hands on the sick, but he's saying, look, these signs are going to follow them that believe. Not only did I lay hands on the sick, but believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All right? Let's see an example of that happen after Jesus was raised from the dead. Here's just another scriptural example. This is the Apostle Paul In that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen on the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So here we see that Jesus laid hands on the sick. He foretold that believers would lay hands on the sick. And here is Paul, one of those believers, laying hands on the sick and they shall recover. So one scriptural way that we receive healing and the receiving side of healing is through the laying on of hands. And you'll notice that it says here, in Mark says that they will recover. So you lay hands on the sick. It's not always going to be a zap. You're completely better. There's recovery as well, too, in that healing, in that healing process that takes place. So what I wanted to do this morning was I wanted to have a little testimony of one of your fellow Door of Lifers who have experienced the receiving side of healing in this manner, through the laying on of hands. So I've asked Michelle Kemp if she would come this morning and share with us her experience as far as receiving healing through the laying on of hands.
Oh, hi. I'm a little nervous about this because I haven't
really
done
anything
like this before.
Don't worry about it. You're good.
But first I'll give you a little background. Back in before 2004, I was a Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I stayed a Catholic until about 1986, and I'd had several bad experiences with the Catholic Church. So basically, I fell away from the Catholic Church and did not attend any other churches. In fact, I kind of went into a period of my life for about 16 years that I wasn't sure there was a God, or if he was there, you know, that he cared about me or whatever. It was a lot of stuff like that. Well, anyhow, God apparently wanted a hold of me, so he put a lot of people in my life that encouraged me to learn more, and I received the Lord in September of 2004, and but I definitely was very much a baby Christian at that point. In 2005, in January of 2005, when I had only been, was in the E-Free Church is what I joined, for about 4.5 months, I was going out and I was going to go sledding with my grandson, and so was my husband Gary and my daughter and son-in-law. Well, we had parked alongside a road, it was called School Hill, and as I got out of the car, and then I had basically dropped my mitten on the ground, and I bent over, picked it up, and I came back up, and I was standing in the road, basically, or the side of the road, and a car came around the corner and just started sliding, and I saw it coming at me. I could not get out of the way. There was no place to go. So basically, I was hit by this car. I was thrown up on the hood of the car. That much I remember. Apparently, carried down the road and then kind of dumped off on my head in the middle of the road. So I landed in the road, and it knocked me out. And when I came to, it turned out that I had a very bad, you know, concussion. I also had several broken bones and several other injuries, a lot of soft tissue injuries and stuff like that. So I was treated for those. I recovered from most of them, but there was always, a month or two later, there was this nagging pain in my hip. So I went back to the doctor and I told him I was still having pain in my hip, and they re-x-rayed my hip. And they basically said, well, there's nothing broken. I don't know what's going on. We'll send you to physical therapy. So they sent me to physical therapy. That didn't work at all. So they tried for a while. Then about a year later, I went back again. I said, this pain is just getting worse. Nothing's touching it. You know, doctors, they give you a couple more pills, and then they send you back to physical therapy again. So I went back to physical therapy again, and of course, that didn't work again either. Then about in 2007, May of 2007, we moved up here to Door County. And it was at that time that I joined Door of Life Church. And the church basically was a new experience to me. Yeah, I didn't really know much about, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, the healings, the, you know, the tongues, the whole thing. But I always try to keep an open mind about things that I don't know. So, you know, I just thought I would continue to learn about that. So in 2007, I got a new doctor since I moved up here. I went to the doctor, and I basically did a physical. I told him about my hip was hurting me and that I'd had this constant pain since 2004, and that it actually had gotten worse. It got so now that I couldn't lay in my left side at night to sleep, and basically every single time I would get up out of a chair, I would limp for a while until I kind of got going for a while, but it was definitely pain. And so once again, for the third time, I got to go back to physical therapy again. And once again, that didn't work, but I was pretty discouraged by this time. So I just started taking, you know, over-the-counter pain medication like Tylenol and ibuprofen and stuff like that. And I was taking it quite regularly. Finally, I think it was about later in 2008, close to 2009, I went back to the doctor again, just an annual physical, and he became concerned that basically I was taking too much over-the-counter pain medication because it messes with your blood and stuff. And so he sent me to an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Tomaszewski. Some of you may have had him up here. But so Dr. Tomaszewski did an MRI, did some more x-rays and stuff. Well, when he came back, he said, you know, there really is something wrong with your leg. When you got hit by with that car, he said it severed the muscle that runs from your hip down to your knee. And so all this time that muscle had been severed that had went alongside my leg. And I said, well, what can we do about that? And he said, well, at this point, he said, at the time, they would have went in and operated and rejoined that muscle. He said, but now it's been so long and it's been so many years and it's retracted so far up and down your leg, that's probably absolutely nothing we can do for you. He said, if you insist, we can operate. You'd be in traction for 5 months, he said, and then there's no guarantee that this will actually work, maybe 50-50 chance. So I decided that that was not the way I wanted to go. I might mention that my husband and I are master gardeners, and we do a lot of gardening and stuff, and this injury was starting to really interfere with what I was doing. So anyhow, I told Dr. Tomaszewski this, and he said, well, we can try a cortisone shot and see if that'll give you some relief, which he gave me the shot in my hip, and that worked for, I don't know, a month. Pain came back again just like it had always had. And about this point, I went to a GLOW meeting at Faith Murray's house. Mona Christian was there, and Julie House, the pastor's wife. And while I was there, I was discussing with them how much pain I was in and how I told them the whole story about how I'd been through all this stuff for years and years and nothing would help. And so they said, well, would you let us pray over you? You know, and I thought, well, sure. but to tell you the truth, I really didn't believe in healing at this point. You know, I had no experience with it. And, you know, about as much as I had learned so far was that, you know, Jesus really loved me, and that's the best thing that I had heard in a long time. So So they prayed over me, and I went home, and I believe I told Gary that they had prayed for me. Didn't think anything more of it because nothing happened at the time. So got around Christmas time, and Gary says, "You know something? I've noticed you're not hardly taking many pain pills anymore." He said, "Is your hip feeling better?" And I said, "You know what? It actually, I hadn't even really noticed it." I said, "But yeah, it's a lot better." But yeah, I said, "No, you can't believe that they actually healed me." And he said, "Well, I don't know." and so basically, I said, "Well, I guess we'll see when I start gardening in the spring." Well, by the spring, I was not taking any pain medication anymore at all. We started gardening. I still wasn't believing. You know, I thought, well, this is just because I've been resting all winter. And, you know, it was like, but I gardened, and I gardened hard because we ended up getting 14 garden clients that year. And by the end of the summer, I was absolutely convinced that there was a miracle that had happened. I believe in healing now, I'll tell you. So praise the Lord. You know, I guess he can heal the unbeliever too. So.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you very much. God, thank you so much, Michelle. Yeah, you see, that's just it. You know, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that's exactly what you experienced. You experienced a recovery, you know, and it was really just, Faith and Mona and Julie just doing what the word says, just by faith, laying hands on the sick, and God, according to his word, just doing what he said he would do, and just minister that healing power to your body. But you see, it's just amazing. That's one way that God heals. I know Julie, reminded me the other day too, she'd had kind of a similar experience where after one of her pregnancies, she had cracked a tailbone and was just sitting very gingerly, you know, in church for months. And it was one of those deals where just somebody called up and to have hands laid on you for healing. And so she went up, you know, didn't feel a thing. And then when she went to sit down, went to sit down gingerly, but then just didn't feel anything, and then just kind of sat down normal. And she said she was bouncing after a while. It's like, wow, I'm really healed, you know. But I'll tell you what, it's one way. It's a powerful way that God heals the sick through the laying on of hands, and the person who's ministering healing. You know, they know that promise. They know that word, all right? And they're able to pray for you for healing, and that powerful healing is imparted. Praise God according to the promise of God. And so that is, it's a very powerful way that God heals. And you'll notice that, again, they shall recover. You can lay hands on somebody, just because there's not a zap experience doesn't mean that healing power didn't go into that person. And so we saw, even for Michelle, it was about a year experience before you realize, had to come to the conclusion, well, yeah, you know, I'm kind of out of natural explanations. God did a work in me. He healed me. So praise God. That is one way that God heals. Oh, I'm sorry, forgot my stuff down here. So one way that God heals is through the laying on of hands. And we're going to go on to another way, powerful way that God heals. And the scripture tells us here, I'll go ahead and just give it to you here. My clicker might still be warming up back there. Okay. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. God has put spiritual gifts in the body of Christ to minister healing. And we see that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I might need a little help back there. I'm not sure why, but I'm getting a delay. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things individually as He wills. Okay? So what we see here is that there are manifestations of the Spirit that will come into operation as the Spirit wills. He will manifest Himself. Okay? These are supernatural, powerful gifts, and it's a very important thing to distinguish. These are not things that happen as I will. Okay? This is what I can do. I can earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Can and should earnestly desire them. And just pray for the manifestation and the operation of those gifts. Create an environment that is conducive for the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. But ultimately, the Spirit of God will move and dictate and flow. In other words, He will communicate by His Spirit to somebody as far as flowing in that. That's how Jesus operated. Jesus said He didn't come to do His own will. He only did what He saw the Father do. So we as believers down here, led by the same precious Holy Spirit, sent to lead and guide us into all truth, He will work in us and through us and guide us as the Spirit wills to manifest. How do you know that? Because he'll move on somebody to step out in these areas of the gifts of the Spirit. And when that happens, there will be a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's just take a look at a couple examples of this. We see the Apostle Paul, when he was in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observed him, and intently seeing that he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, Stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. So here we see something. This isn't really a full teaching on gifts of the Spirit, but really what had happened here was Paul, this is really what you'd call a word of knowledge. He just looked at the man and intuitively knew that he had faith to be healed. Now, to just look at somebody and absolutely know that is knowledge that you got from the Holy Spirit. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal that to you. The Father in heaven by the Holy Spirit shows you supernaturally the condition and the state of people that you can't see with these eyes, all right? He was seeing it through a gift of the Spirit, a word of knowledge. He knew that man had faith to be healed. And then the Apostle Paul stepped out in faith and said, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. The power of God hit him. The Apostle Paul declared it. The man stood up. The power of God hit him. He's absolutely healed. That's a supernatural, just spontaneous gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's another example where we see Jesus ministering. It says, Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. He put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Now, this is interesting, all right? Jesus before would lay hands on people, and they'd be restored. Here, he does something different, though. He spits. This is a blind man. He spits in his eyes. Another case where he saw where he'd spit and made mud and rubbed it in a man's eyes, different things like that. What's going on here? Well, we know he's doing what the Father shows him to do. There's a working of a miracle. You're working a miracle. You're doing what the Father shows you to do, and something supernatural, a supernatural miracle is taking place. We're talking about ways to receive healing. Sometimes the way you can and will receive healing is through spiritual gifts. It's important to know that they're in the body of Christ today and be able to be open to receive supernatural gifts of the Spirit working through people to manifest healing. This is a supernatural working of miracles. We saw it happen in Jesus' ministry. We saw it happen with the Apostle Paul. Not just to stand up on your feet, but to supernaturally know something about somebody and then call them out for healing. Is that scriptural? Yeah, it is. We see that working throughout the scriptures. So what I wanted to do again this morning, have one of our fellow Door of Lifers who's experienced this and came in contact with and received healing through a supernatural manifestation of the gift of the Spirit, Lee Ducharme, come this morning and share with us his experience on receiving through We'll say the gifts of the Spirit. All right, Lee, get you. Test, test, one, two, test, test.
First of all, I'd like to read a scripture that's always blessed me. Surely he has borne our griefs and sicknesses and carried our sorrows and pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions or rebellion. He was bruised for our iniquities or wickedness. The chastisement or correction for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, stripes meaning blows that cut, by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. Yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, wickedness of us all. Everything's got to be based on the word. And this word was written 700 years before Messiah Jesus manifested in the earth. 700 years. The prophetic is truly incredible. And God chose it to reveal his son in this way. I, too, am going to, I had my, in my earlier years, I was raised Catholic. I didn't have any bad experiences, but I always thought there's got to be more. There's got to be more. This just can't be all there is. As time went by, when I was 21 years old, I joined the Marine Corps and went to Vietnam. I was inspired to do that. This was in 1967, and this was the year that Israel repossessed Jerusalem, a major prophetic event. I didn't realize what was going on, but something on the inside of me did. I was greatly inspired by it. I then joined the Marine Corps and went to Vietnam, and fortunately, I came through that whole carnage without a scratch. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But I still had that hunger inside me. I just knew there had to be more. And talking to some of my coworkers, one of the guys said, well, there's some people who have a home Bible study that's a lot of people go to. So, okay, I'll go and see what that's all about. This is the first time I had ever cracked Bible. I'd heard scriptures growing up. But this is the first time we went a literal study in the Bible. And lo and behold, we came to 1 Corinthians 14, and they were all talking about this speaking in tongues. And I thought, now what is this? I've never heard anything like this. And they said, well, we don't know anything about this, but there's a group over here that knows something about it. You know, go over there and see what they have to say. But it happened to be a Catholic charismatic group. So I thought, well, this is great. So this is where I grew up. I feel comfortable here. And I went to one of their meetings, and they were all playing their guitars and raising their hands and shouting out to God, total freedom. I had never experienced this. There was great joy. There was great happiness. Well, afterwards, I discovered there was a great move of the Spirit among the denominations, and this was happening all over. All the denominations were going through this charismatic move. Well, at this point, I was learning and learning and learning. This was all so new, and there was great joy in the camp in my heart because I learned so much what was going on. Over the course of time, the whole charismatic core group ended up moving over to the Assemblies of God because we had gotten involved with the Full Gospel Businessmen, which was another group that was raised up by God. And one of the leaders of the full gospel businessman, went to this church, so we ended up going there. And I believe it was about 1973, in the summer, my parents had a cottage in northern Michigan, and of course, I came from a family of seven, and we were all up there, and it was kind of a reunion kind of thing. And we went, in order to entertain ourselves, we went dirt biking out. There was where they cut the power lines through. There's an open field through the woods. And we were juking in and out of the power poles and having a great time. But I hit a stump that was buried in the ground. When I hit that stump, I felt a crunch in my back. I mean, a literal crunch. And then I went, of course, flying and tumbling. To make a long story short, I had a compression fracture of my seventh vertebrae. 25% of it was crushed. They kept me in the hospital for a week for observation because there was really nothing they could do about it. And they told me to be extremely careful because you could easily become a paraplegic if those nerves ever got, if you twisted wrong. And that was the key. As long as I did, if I twisted, sharp pain, just sharp, excruciating. So I had to wear a brace, a girdle-type brace with two steel beams down either side and wrapped really tight. And as long as I stayed straight, I was okay. But if I twisted, I mean, I knew it instantly. And so they just gave me a stern warning and said, it's up to you to be careful. Well, at this particular time, the Full Gospel Businessmen was having their annual convention in New York City. I lived in Michigan at the time. And so this one businessman wanted all of us who had just come into the things of the Lord, there probably was 10 of us, he wanted us all to see the power of God in action because a minister by the name of Catherine Coleman was ministering in New York City at their main convention there. So he wanted, and we were all pretty young at that time, and nobody had any money to just go out to New York. So he gave us his brand new Cadillac. He said, just fit as many in there as you could, and the ones that couldn't do that, he gave them plane tickets. And he flew us all out there. He just did whatever he could do so we could see the manifestation of the things of God. So we all went out there, and we were all seated in various, this is a big auditorium. I was seated up way in the second balcony up high, and Catherine Coleman was a very unique person. She was very graceful. She wore a long gown draped from her arm, and she would just flow. And when the Spirit of God moved upon her, she would have words of knowledge, as was sharing, that God was saying certain people were being healed, and she would just all of a sudden go over here. This one over here has a heart condition. The Lord is healing. And then the Spirit of God, and she'd go over. Someone over here, right down there, there's cancer, and the Lord is healing. Well, she does this for a little bit, and then she went up in the balcony. There's a young man up there with a broken back, and the Lord is healing him. And she went on. And at that instant, I mean instantly, it was like a vibration went from the top of my head to, so I mean it was a physical manifestation. I felt it right down. It was like I just started shaking. It was a vibration. And I knew that was my time, my healing. It happened. And I at that time I wore a suit all the time. I don't know. I haven't since. So I started taking my suit coat off, and I took my shirt off, and you know, I took that steel brace off that was, and I brought it down to the altar, and then she asked for all those who received to come down, and you know, and she when she just put her thumb under my jaw. I don't know what that was supposed to represent, but, and then boom. So that was my manifestation. And also, I had a, my brother-in-law's who we went dirt biking with, and he was with me from the beginning to the end of this whole thing, and he was watching. He was watching carefully, and he saw what was going on. When I came back, I was all excited. I was happy. I was full of joy. I walked into my parents' house, and I told my mother, I was healed by the power of God. This is great. This is great. And she was devastated. She got down on her knees in front of me and begged me to put that brace back on. Because she, but it didn't matter. It did. I had already experienced healing and I knew it. I just, pulled her back up and hugged her and tried to explain to her. Over, my brother-in-law's watching this all along. He's well aware of what's going on. We had some home meetings going on, and all of a sudden, he showed up at this home meeting. He said, I've been watching, and I want what you have. I want to get born again. Well, he didn't use the word born again. I want to what you have. And they had an invitation, and he came in. After a little while, my sister came in. He actually ended up being in our wedding. I had other relatives, in-laws, that one by one, they all came in. They all saw the power of God. They all saw, didn't understand it. I mean, who could? I mean, I don't even know that I totally understand it. But it just, that wave just moved through my family. I'm one of seven, and they came in one at a time, and they're down in Florida. We go down to Florida. And they, to this day, he's 76, my sister is 76, and they lead a Bible study down there to this day. My other brother-in-law, who came in a little later, we went to Arkansas to visit him. He leads a Bible study. He's 70 years old. He's just about ready to retire. He's in charge of 10,000 people. He works in the nursing home business, and he's leading Bible studies to this day. So the power of God has that ripple effect, and it's for real. And today, I mean, this is almost 45 years later. I'm still in good shape. I still do whatever I want to do. But there is one caveat I was talking to Pastor Ed about this. Several years later, I had a relapse. I also all of a sudden felt a sharp pain. But it was too late. There again, it was too late because I knew I had received it. And just rebuked the devil and kept on rebuking him and kept on rebuking him, and that thing went away. It had to go away. It had to go away. It had to go away. And it did. It did. And my encouragement to any of you who are struggling right now, it's just don't give up. Don't give up. Keep searching. Keep searching. Keep asking. And if there is a lifestyle change that has to be made, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, then do it. It's worth it. But it's the power of God is for real. And it's for today. And it's for now.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if you try to gauge this kind of stuff, if you even try to gauge this kind of stuff, our gifts for today, if you try to gauge whether gifts are for today during Jesus' ministry, You'd have been an interesting time, depending on when you got plopped down in. Because there was one time, Jesus just tearing it up. We say he's laying hands in the sick. Everybody's getting healed. He comes to his own hometown, and there's an atmosphere of unbelief. They're offended. It's charged in the air. It's jaded against him. And he can there do no many mighty works. If we were to come down right there and make an assessment about the power of God, you'd have different theology than you would have in Galilee. And that's why it's important that we don't just stop and take inventory and say, well, I'm not seeing a gift here, 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 therefore I got to go into the Bible and find out why it doesn't happen anymore. Is it possible that we can have an atmosphere that's jaded against, a spirit of unbelief against things like that, that could inhibit the power and the flow and the working of God? And when you get into an atmosphere where there is faith and there is belief that the supernatural can and still does happen, yeah, absolutely. God still raises up ministers like a Catherine Kuhlman to minister supernaturally. I came out under the ministry of Kenneth Hagin, who was raised up off a deathbed. Powerful ministry of healings. I mean, myriads of healings. God can and does still raise up people who function and flow powerfully in gifts of the Spirit as well, too. We can experience them, too, even apart from having a minister. You can experience that supernatural power and ministry gift in your own life as well, too. But spiritual gifts are another way, one way, that God can and does minister healing on the receiving side of healing. Finally, I wanted to get to what I'm simply calling faith in God's Word, okay? Faith in God's Word. At this point, somebody isn't laying hands on you per se. I mean, they may or may not later on or whatever, but you're not getting a spiritual gift. You're dealing with something and you just know it's God's will for you to be well. And so you're going to the Word of God and putting faith in God's Word to receive healing for what's going on. That's just this, what we're simply calling faith in God's Word, okay? Now, as we're looking at this, let's take a look at some scriptures along this way of receiving healing. Jesus speaking, he said, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them." He's talking about a personal faith, where you're believing, have faith in God, taking God at his word, okay? 1 John puts it this way. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him, okay? Now, again, you can involve other people to pray for you and whatnot, different things. But the origin of this is I'm dealing with something, and I'm going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to pray and ask God by faith in his Word, knowing that he's my loving Heavenly Father, to receive that healing. Okay, that's kind of how this is working, okay, where you're just believing God for healing. Now, let's take a look at something like this that happened in the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." He would have probably went and laid hands on him, or a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. He would have done something there. The centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. To another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." What is this centurion saying? He said, just give the word. All I need is the word. I don't need you to come and minister. All I need you to do is speak the word. And this is another way you can receive healing. You don't have to be in that meeting at a certain time. You don't need the man of God or the woman of God to be there. Not to undermine it. That's a powerful way God can and does, and we've heard it and been blessed by testimonies of the laying on of hands, of different things. But you can also take God at his word and pray. And through just faith in God's word, go before the Heavenly Father, before that throne of grace, and obtain mercy and healing grace to help in time of need, and say, "You know, Heavenly Father, I'm dealing with this condition, whatever it is. And I thank you that by those stripes I was healed. I'm praying the prayer of faith myself. And I'm asking you for it. I'm asking you for that healing that belongs to me, that you paid for. Okay? This can just be you and God. Just you and God talking. And, you know, again, what happens after that can be different from person to person. Somebody could pray that and experience something go through their body and get healed right away. Other times, many times, there will be a period of time from the time that you pray it, believe it, receive it, and then stand in faith upon receiving that healing. Standing in faith upon what you're believing for. In other words, that centurion said, you say the word. I'm standing on that word of healing to believe it and receive it. So you can believe it, even like Lee said, you can believe it, you can receive it, and you could be dealing with things. There's a fight of faith too as you're holding on to what you believe, different things like that. And so I've asked Annie Peterson to come and share with us this morning just about her experience in just praying and asking God and receiving healing.
I don't have a real long story, but it's a good one. My hip started hurting real bad, just like hers was, and so I went to the doctor, and they took x-ray, and it was real bad. So they wanted to do the surgery, and I just felt that God was saying, no, I'm here for you. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and it was, they wanted to do the surgery in December. Then they called me in April and said, maybe you can come now for the surgery. And I said, no, I just would like to wait for a little bit because I'm having the kids come. So I waited, and I kept praying, though. Every night I prayed and asked the Lord, which way does he want me to go? Do you want me to go have the surgery? And I just didn't feel like I was supposed to. So anyway, it was in April that they called me, and I made the appointment for the surgery. So it was the day before, the night before surgery. When I got up the next morning, there was no pain, none at all. And I just praise him. You just have to stand on his word, and you just have to keep on going till, you know, if you, he will let you know if you need to take that surgery or not, you know. And I just have, I've had other healings happen already too, and I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, now I'm praying for the fibromyalgia, which I have been praying for a long time, but I know that God is going to heal me. Because there's nothing else they can do for fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing, yep. Really. Yeah. So it's up to God to heal me. Mm-hmm. So that's my story. It's not long. Amen.
No, that's great. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Praise God. Yes. Thank you, Annie. That was great. You know, and that is, you know, you're just standing in faith. You're just taking God at his word, and praise God, the manifestation comes, healing, pain gone. And so, you know, I'm so blessed by that. I think, you know, when you saw the other, there was the blind man that Jesus had spit in his eyes. He was begging him to touch him, and then Jesus touched him. And Jesus was used to ministering to people. So when the guy, you know, centurion said, you know, my servant is sick, okay, I'll come and heal. No, you just give the word. And Jesus was like, wow. You know, there was a lot of people that were trying to get Jesus, you know, trip him up or trip him, and he couldn't. He was always a step ahead of him. You know, he always knew where they were going. He was cool. But I'll tell you, people had faith like this. That was like, wow, he marveled. It's like, you know, something that really, you could tell, really blessed. And we know that faith pleases God. We can see it here. Well, we have one other testimony also this morning that I want to have Julie Larson come and share with us, kind of along these lines as well, too. Just taking God at his word and just taking a stand and believing to receive healing. Thank you, Julie.
Hey, everyone. I was kind of hesitant to come up because, one, I think in my mind I've always thought that it needed to be something really, really clear, and I'm still in the process of learning. So I was having a hard time trying to figure out how to explain my health history, but basically I have a central nervous system injury. So as a child, whenever I was five, my stepfather came into my life, and he was very, very abusive, hit me on the head every day, threw me against the wall, things like that. And I started getting sick that very year that he came in my life. I got what they considered to be viral meningitis that they couldn't find, but I was in ICU for 30 days. But I had all the symptoms. I couldn't turn my neck, things like that. And I went from being a really healthy child to just getting fluky illnesses. Cat scratch fever that I have calcified lymph nodes from, where I had to drain with needles, all kinds of fluky, crazy stuff. So basically, fast forward to being an adult, and I had some issues that resulted in Pete and I went through a very hard time where, you know, we were dealing with all kinds of stuff, and we both went into a rehab program. At that rehab program, I was diagnosed with severe complex PTSD, which is basically an injury to your nervous system. And they explained to me that everything for me is somatic. So all those injuries were in my body. So my body is literally in knots, like all over. And I had my first healing experience actually there. And it's very interesting to me because the Holy Spirit was kind of talking to me back there about how that was really the beginning of my healing. I went into one of the treatment sessions, and this woman was laying, it was like a massage where they do treatment. And in that moment, I was supposed to visualize a safe place, and I couldn't. But finally, I said, okay, they were like, visualize, and I couldn't think of anything. And then I was like, no, God is with me. And in that moment, my head went back and forth. My body just started shaking. And all I could see was like white, and I was worshiping. After that is actually whenever I started seeking the Lord. And after I left there, I started reading the Bible every day. And within a short period of time after that, I was saved in a couple of months. So that's kind of the backstory to me getting saved. But I've still been dealing with all kinds, and I have so many diagnoses, fibromyalgia, actually blood work for lupus, all kinds of things, and they just treat it different ways. And I was on 13 medications before going into that treatment center and none of them were narcotics. They were just all medications, and they told me that I was disabled for the rest of my life, that I needed to hire someone to take care of the kids because I needed to be on these medications, and I couldn't drive. So that healing really started there with that woman. But it's just been a journey. And I've come up before, and I've had where, remember Janet put oil on my head, and I had warmth and this tingling, and I had temporary, but things would come back again, and they come back again. Well, just the last couple of months ago, I got really sick again. I have good days and I have bad days. And some days, a couple days a month, my pain, I never say 10. I always keep that for torture. But I have had several days a month where it's like a 9. And I come out like energetic, and then I withdraw. Energetic, and then I withdraw. And I was having some really bad, bad times. And I went to my doctor and was like, I can't deal. Something has got to change. And she said, Julie, you need to get it through your head. You are disabled. You are disabled for the rest of your life, and there is nothing you can do about it. And she said, we are going to put you on some oxycodone, and we are going to up your medication, and I am going to give you a referral for behavioral health so that you can come to terms with the fact that you are disabled and you run around and you do things and you do not understand that this is for the rest of your life. And I said to her, started bawling, and I said to her, I must need mental health because you are wrong. I said, I do not believe that for one minute. I said, you haven't got to the bottom of this, and I believe in healing, and you know what? Maybe I do need mental health because I will never believe what you say. And So I took the medication. I left there, and it just so happened that it was homeschool Y day, and I was driving. I had to go home. I couldn't even speak. could not speak. It was like a spirit of depression came over my body. I mean, it was like she laid all of that on me, and I could not speak, but I had to take the kids to the Y. So I did like this to the car, drove them, and I know Jody was driving, was going to be bringing her kids, and I just sat in the parking lot, and I texted her, and I said, I need you. I need prayer. I knew she was on her way to drop the kids, and she got in the car, and she just lifted that spirit from in prayer. She prayed over me, and I literally felt the spirit that was just, it was like that day was like poof, and then back off again. I was so incredibly grateful. It was literally the healing in that moment of, you know, someone praying over you. And in that moment, I had this thought from the Holy Spirit. I don't know the difference between hope and faith. And I turned to her. I said, I need to figure out the difference between hope and faith. Because I don't know. I think all this time I'm just waiting, but I don't know. So I went home and I prayed and I was fasting and I was listening and I kind of got led to go on the Rhema site. And I got to there and there was these classes, correspondence classes, and I was like, I'm just going to start at the beginning. And the second course was healing, but I was kind of told, nope, go back to the foundations of faith. So I ordered that and it came. And I put it to the side, and then once I got to it, it was the middle of the night. This happens sometimes. The Lord wakes me up in the middle of the night, like, let's talk. And he's like, pick up that book. And I picked up the book, and the second, I think, chapter was hope versus faith, right there. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You literally sent me my prescription in the mail. Like, just what you said you were going to do, and it's right there. And I read, and it was about Kenneth Hagin's testimony, and I really, you know, I haven't gone to healing meetings or anything. To hear his experience and to see that it was a process for him was powerful, powerful, because I had received, you know, pieces before. And all of a sudden, just like I received the gift of tongues in my living room alone. I prayed for it, and I received it in the middle of the night also. And the same thing, after I read like six chapters and studied it, I just started speaking to the Lord, and I just lifted up my hands, and I just said, I receive healing in Jesus' name. I receive healing in Jesus' name. And I just started saying it out loud, and the power of the Holy Spirit came over me, and the pain was gone, like right then and there. And I knew. I woke up, and I'm literally, I say this, I've been in knots. I literally have knots all through my body. And the next day, I woke, I was waiting, and he's sleeping, and I wanted to wake up. And I was just like standing over him, and finally I shook him, and I said, feel this. Because I knew, because I'm always having him dig in my body, and I'm just like, feel, feel. Do you feel this? It's gone. It's gone. And so the knot started to disappear. And then I was led in different ways. I went in, and I went into a pain management doctor that they had referred me to at that appointment. And I said, I don't want anything but this one shot right in the spot. And then I was led to go, I found this massage therapist that I've done all this due diligence. I've done this work. I found a massage therapist, and I was like, the Lord was speaking to me about taking time to take care of myself, to not work and run around and do. And so then I received that, and that cleared some of the knots. Then I was led to go back to the physical therapist that I'd been doing physical therapy for years, on and off, on and off. And they did something new. They put dry needling, where they put needles in you, and then electric, and then that cleared. And so down, my body is gradually clearing, gradually, slowly. And so one by one. And so part of the reason why I was hesitant to come up was that I am still in the process. But there's clearing starting. And when that happened, I knew all of a sudden, like, oh my goodness, just like Lee said, There's no going back. Now when it comes up, I just say, I receive healing in Jesus' name. I receive healing in Jesus' name. And we get through that. And I'm fighting. I fight the fight. So I just wanted to share with you, I'm still in the fight, but I have got, just the last couple of months have been powerful and amazing. And I just, I'm very grateful.
Praise God. Thank you, Julie. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, when you're talking about that prayer of faith, that's where a lot of us are. You know what I mean? You're praying, you believe, you receive, and having done all to stand there for. And that's what you see in Julie. She has experienced the healing, the freedom, and she's continuing to stand and walk through that process, you know, where there's recovery. There was a case where Jesus talks about the nobleman's son, you know, when, you know, he came to Jesus and he said, go, your son lives. And he inquired and he said, yeah, that was the same as far as when he began to get better. And he said, yeah, that's when Jesus prayed. The Bible says he began to amend. You know, that there is a process where you're beginning that healing and you're working with it. So again, I love that testimony because when it comes to the receiving side, if you've just got a one-dimensional zap mentality, and this is the sad thing, if you don't get the zap, then you think, oh, I didn't get it. And there it is. And so I let go of my faith. I stopped believing. That's not the case. No. You stand in faith and believe, you receive, and there will be a time. There will be a time of standing. And even within that time, the Holy Spirit can be leading and guiding you, even natural physical things that can help too. I've kind of shared too where I've had things where I've had reoccurring injuries, and I was inflicting it on myself. And the Holy Spirit, I was just doing some stretching exercises, and the Holy Spirit just caught me and said, Ed, you know, when you're stretching, you're hyperextending your knee. That's where your knee problems are coming from, you know? But so in that case, I'd get healed and think, oh, this is great. But then it seems like I'd re-injure it again. And I didn't need, what I needed was I needed a word from the Lord for a natural physical adjustment to help me from inflicting pain on myself. You know, sometimes there's things in the natural we can do. We're just not aware of it. We're ignorant. It's like a blind spot. And the Holy Spirit will show you that. That's part of the process. It's part of healing. So don't get a certain mindset about, it's got to be this way. This is the way I learned healing and I trained it. And if you don't conform to all my little nuances, it's not really true. No. Praise God. You look and study the different cases of healing throughout the Bible. There's a lot of different ways that God can and does minister to us as we endeavor to receive healing. And so that's kind of the, you know, the flow this morning. We'll kind of go ahead and just review the receiving side of healing. There's laying hands on the sick, praise God, and they shall recover. There's spiritual gifts where people can function and flow and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are powerful zaps and amazing supernatural things that can and do happen. That's part of it. And there's faith in God's word, where you're just saying, I'm just going to the word of God. You know, you've said it. You know, at your word, that's good enough. Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to stand in faith and believe I receive it. So those are just different ways, different areas that we receive healing, that healing comes. So we'll go ahead and let's just go ahead before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, this morning for this service and for just the different ways that you minister healing. And I just pray for each one of us that there are no boxes that we put you in of how you must do things, but that we look to you, we reach out toward you, we have faith in you and speak to that mountain and just believe, Father God, for your healing power to minister, to manifest, Father God, in our lives. We thank you for the different ways that we can receive healing. And I just pray too, Lord, you know the situations here, the needs here. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just begin to lead and guide, even as you were leading and guiding Julie and just drawing her by your Spirit and different things, that you will just begin to lead and guide each of us, Lord, on receiving healing and how to receive healing. That if there is an opportunity to have hands laid on us, that we'd be sensitive and to realize that, yes, Lord, this is your word. You can and do heal through the laying on of hands or spiritual gifts, to be open to the ministry of spiritual gifts, of people ministering to us supernaturally by the power of God, and just simply taking it at your word, Lord, knowing that by those stripes we were Rapha, we were healed. We just thank you for all the different ways. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in your word. You've made provision for healing. Many different ways to receive healing, but they all come through the same healer, the same provision, the same stripes. I'm a child of God. Healing belongs to me. Lead and guide me into that truth. May the eyes of my understanding be further enlightened, that I may know the exceeding greatness of your healing power that works toward me as a believer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to, you know, have a heart toward healing and open toward healing, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I wasn't even really drawn to the Word of Faith message and believing God because of sickness or healing or sickness. I just wasn't sick, right? So what drew me was the fact any man is in Christ is a new creation, and the power of the Word of God and walking in the authority and all that. And healing was nice, and that was kind of a side thing. That was great, and I'm sure for people who need that. But, you know, I'd have maybe a few little things or colds or things, but not like big things. But I'll tell you, as I'm getting older and dealing with things, it's like, thank God, healing's part of the package. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits, all right? Some of the benefits of this benefit package, they might kick in later. So if you're a teenager and it's kind of like, oh, that's cool, you know, whatever. I'm sure it's good for you older folks, whatever. And, you know, and younger folks, I mean, Lee's experience, he was a young guy cycling. So, I mean, we all experience things and come into that. I'm just kind of saying my deal, but it's such a powerful part of the blessing and the package deal that we got with the Lord, our benefit package that we have in Christ, you know, to know that healing is part of that. And that's something you can hide in your heart now while you're well, you know, and really get in you and get in your spirit that'll help you when you need it later on. So praise God.